Though in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Genesis 1 covers the topic pretty well. We've read it. Land, the seas, grass, herbs, fruit trees, sea creatures. We have fish, birds, land creatures, creepy crawlers. And then God created mankind. Verse 26, it says, so mankind had dominion over the lands, over the animals. Had dominion over the animals. From the very beginning, mankind is set apart from all others. And then he ended his work, the 6 days of creation, by the Sabbath day. What a long week of creation. I've heard a theory that said it could have been a week. Must have been a year was a day. Well, if you would go with that theory, then you can say that is not a true statement, because in the days of creation, the plants needed animals to survive and vice versa. Everything needed one of the other things to live. And in our modern day, it's called photosynthesis. The trees and vegetation needs the carbon dioxide from the animals to take it in and perform their jobs, to filter and provide oxygen for the animals, to provide oxygen for us. It's the process that God created. And it had to take place in 6 days, because these things wouldn't have survived for a year or two without the other. God knew exactly what he was doing during creation. Christ is just like his Father. He's a God of consistency. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever in Hebrews 13:8. What happens in the future with creation? The book of Revelation 21 and 22 covers it pretty well too. We've read it quite a bit in the past. We know that there's a new heaven. There's a new earth. There will be a new Jerusalem. And Christ will be the temple, the light. There will be a pure river, the water of life, proceeding from the throne of God. We see that God, the Father, and the Christ are the same always. The earth and the entirety were created in Genesis. And after mankind has destroyed everything, it is created new in Revelation after the thousand-year millennial reign. God has set us apart from all others from the very beginning. We build. We create. No other animal does that in nature. Only the God family before us has built, has created. When I think about creation, I think we need to ask ourselves, what are we creating in our lives? What are we creating? Some of you are good at making your own jewelry. Some have built decks on their houses. Some, Kevin, he's good at building cabinets. Everyone has their own specialty in building. Some of you are good at taking a seed, planting it, watering it, watching it grow, taking care of it, and having it be fruitful. Create, the definition of create, means to cause something to exist, to bring it into being. For instance, maybe you have, you're artistic. You've made a new song and it hit the top 40 on the charts. The God family created, and we are to become part of that God family. We are to prepare ourselves now to become part of the God family. With that said, we are to create just as the Father and Christ created. As imperfect humans, we try and try until we get it right. Thomas Edison failed 10,000 times at creating a light bulb until he found one way that would work. One that wouldn't burn out the element upon flowing the electric current. How did he view this? Thomas Edison's comment was, "I have not failed 10,000 times. I have not failed once. I have succeeded in proving that those 10,000 ways will not work. When I have eliminated the ways that will not work, I will find the way that will work." So that's a very positive way to look at creating for us as well. Today I have 5 points. As we live in a world full of violence, we see race riots going on this week, last several months. We've seen a lot of shootings. We know that the world is in moral decline. Today's message is concerning something that we have control over, something that we can change and prepare for Christ's return. It's us. We can change ourselves. Point number one, perform a spiritual self-assessment. Perform a self-assessment. We all have ways to grow spiritually, don't we? We all have holes and gaps in our spiritual life. Let's turn to Lamentations 3, verse 40. Right before Ezekiel, Lamentations 3:40, and we'll read through verse 42. Verse 40 says, "Let us search out and examine our ways. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. For we have transgressed and rebelled. You have not pardoned." These verses were good for the people back then, and they're good for us today. We're in the same situation. We are to search out and examine our ways. We are to look at ourselves in a mirror to find those gaps in our spiritual life and to work on those issues. Let's turn to Haggai 1, verse 5 through 8. And I believe that's right before Zechariah. Haggai 1, 5 through 8. "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So he mentions it again. Consider your ways. "Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord." How do we look in the mirror? When we do a self-examination, how do we look spiritually? Do you see a future Son of God? It's a yes or no question. Do you see in a mirror a future Son of God? If Christ were to return at sundown, would you be ready? Our self-assessment should give us some ideas that we need to focus on as Christians. The self-assessment should help us carefully think about our spiritual development, and we should be working on those items. Once we find a weakness, we should write it down. Put it on paper. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my concerns. See if there is any offense way in me. Lead me into everlasting way. Test me," Lord says. How about if we test ourselves, examine ourselves, see where we're at in life spiritually? I'm going to ask you a few questions for your self-assessment. There's many questions we can ask. Do I regularly have time and spend time in prayer? Do I regularly have quiet time in prayer? When making decisions, do I look to Scripture first? Is my relationship with God the Father and Christ the Son out of love? Or is it out of duty? Is it out of fear? Do I trust Christ to help me through any problem I face? Do I regularly read and study Scripture? Can I answer questions about life and faith using Scripture to back my perspective? Do I demonstrate honesty in my actions and conversation? A lot of these questions we can make up our own. There is, if you Google and do a self-assessment, there's a lot of websites you can find. One place I found was at Lifeway.com, and it was called Spiritual Growth Assessment. Very, very good list of spiritual growth questions. Another question is, do I need to improve on being justice and merciful? Do I need to improve on being merciful? Do I need to improve on love? What about compassion? I think a lot of these things change as we become older. Maybe we weren't so compassionate when we were younger, and maybe we become more compassionate the more experience we have. Once we have a list of the items that we need to work on ourselves from the self-assessment, what do you think the next step should be? What should be after a self-assessment? Point number two is define a plan. Define a plan. Review the plan. Change it. Seek input from friends, from your mate, maybe from your minister. And then update your plan. Do you think God had a plan before the 7 days of creation? Do you think He had a plan for the future? Did God have a plan for the future? Did He have a plan before He started creation, before He made mankind? Well, I don't know about in Genesis, but I'm sure He did have a plan, because I know He had a plan for the future world. We read of it in Revelation. We know He has a plan for each and every one of us. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29. Verse 10 and 11. Jeremiah 29. And I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. It's a little bit different than the New King James. So Jeremiah 29, verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." Verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future of hope. So we see that Christ has plans for us. There is also a master plan laid out in the holy days. Once we define our list from the self-assessment, we need to define a plan on how to accomplish the task. And this is individually based according to our self-assessment. Some may feel the desire to improve socially, to create an environment of spending 10 hours a week as a goal with people of like mind. 10 hours a week. That's not asking much, is it? Maybe another person needs to create activities to improve on serving at the church. Another person may need to define a plan to serve the local community at a food bank, maybe 10 hours a month. We all have to have goals and plans. There are many, many opportunities that we have. Our youth is currently picking a different organization every month to serve. Whether they know it or not, this is part of spiritual growth. As we follow in Christ's footsteps, after developing a plan, the next step, point three, is to create. Create. We now should have a plan to create an opportunity for ourselves or for others. It's time to implement the plan. Follow your plan step by step and see how your creation comes to life. Just as the farmer plants the seed and it's watered by rain, it has its sun and it grows. Your plan is no good unless you put it to test. Thomas Edison was successful in finding 10,000 ways that were not successful in creating a light bulb. We can create an improved relationship with God and Christ. We can create an improved environment here at church. We can create a new song for those that are talented for God the Father. We can create new ways to involve the teens and young adults in establishing ownership within the church. An area they can help out and grow spiritually. There are many, many opportunities. And it's up to you to look at your opportunities and put them to test. The God family are creators. If we are to become part of that God family, we must also work on our creation skills. Let's turn to Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created, are in heaven, and all that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Hebrews 1:1-4. Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. As we have read, and we know, there was a more excellent creation, and Christ throughout time served God more than all others. He created so many things by the power of God. By creating properly and doing it the right way, we too are serving God. Point number four, once we have created something, we need to maintain it. Maintain. We've established a list of self-improvements. We've established a plan. We've implemented the plan and have created something. Once it's created, do you leave it alone or do you maintain it? The plant needs maintaining. Everything that I know of needs maintaining. Let's turn to Genesis 2, verse 8. Genesis 2, we will read 8 through 10. And this is speaking about the Garden of Eden. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, Adam. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. So during creation, God knew exactly what he was doing. He had a plan, and he had a river to water the garden. Verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. From the very beginning of creation, before sin existed in the garden, Adam was to tend the garden. He was to maintain the garden. We also should have a maintenance plan for our spiritual life. For those things that we have been working on, we need to check ourselves. We need to review ourselves to see how we're doing. In our house, I know we have to maintain the filters in our AC units, maybe once a month, maybe every 6 months. We should probably change the oil in our car every 3,000 miles. May not always get done, but we should have a maintenance cycle. Our lawnmower needs its blade sharpened. How many other things do we maintain physically? How do we maintain spiritually? If somebody drives up to my house and they see that the grass is 3 foot high and there's weeds in my driveway and I've got three cars on blocks, how am I maintaining physically? It doesn't look very good, does it? It's not what they call curb appealing. That's not a house you want to put on a market for sale. The same thing applies to us spiritually. When we look at ourselves, are we spiritually appealing? Do you think Christ would choose us? Point number five, improve upon your creation. This is something God doesn't have to worry about. When he creates something, he does it right the first time. His creations are perfect. However, when we create something, we don't always get it right the first time. There's always ways to improve. Once we have performed the four steps, we have gained experience in our short lifetime. We have gained experience. We may have found 10,000 ways to be successful at not being successful at something. But we keep trying spiritually. We have the experience to reflect back and improve upon our design, our plan, our creation. To improve upon our maintenance schedule as well. Let's look at our future as spirit beings. Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9. Revelation 19, 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. At this point, if you've made it to partake in the marriage supper, in the marriage ceremony, then you've done a stellar job on these 4 points. You've self-examined and you've improved and you've prepared yourself for Christ's return. Congratulations. We know from Scripture that the 1,000-year reign followed the marriage supper. The earth is cleansed by fire, and only a small percent of humans now exist. The earth has to be recreated. It is God's spirit beings, those spirit beings mentioned here in the marriage supper, that are going to build the earth. Very interesting. So what happens after the 1,000-year reign? After Satan is once again cast down after the second and third resurrections. I think we all know this. I will turn to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Revelation 21, 1 through 5, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So in Greek, the new heaven and the new earth, the new is K-A-I-N-O-S, meaning a fresh, new character. Verse 2, Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There should be no more pain, for in the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Even though we have just read in Revelation 19:7 about the saints and the marriage supper, and that they will be creating a place for the millennium, even though we have done this as spirit beings, have created a place for these people during the 1,000-year reign, God creates a new earth. He refreshes it. He delivers a holy city. Yes, God redoes what we just did as spirit beings. And it it makes me chuckle a little bit, because even though we're spirit beings, God has a better plan. He's going to do it better. At that time, we'll be spiritual babes when you think about it. Spiritual newborns. And even as spirit beings, we'll have to learn. We don't cease learning once we become spirit beings. There's a lot of issues in the world today. The morals and the values are quickly declining. We don't have a lot, if any, control over such things. But we do have control over ourselves. We have an obligation to prepare ourselves for Christ's return. The bride is to make herself ready. So I ask you, are you self-assessing? Are you defining a get-better plan? Are you putting that plan in action and creating something good? Do you have a maintenance plan? Are we improving and preparing ourselves for Christ's return?